Welcome to the Disney Wedding Podcast. This show is brought to you by Carrie Hayward's Fairytale Weddings Guide, the only guidebook and bridal organizer tailored exclusively to Disney's fairytale weddings at Walt Disney World. I'm Carrie Hayward, and each week I feature Disney wedding updates, money-saving tips, and interviews with wedding vendors and real Disney couples. I also cover honeymoons, anniversaries, and engagements at the Disney parks and resorts. Join me now as the Disney Wedding Podcast celebrates romance at Disney destinations. Today on the Disney Wedding Podcast, I am speaking with Disney grooms Alejandro and Shabri Metz about their ceremony at Place du Remy in France and their dessert party also in France at Epcot. I thought you guys would be interested to hear how they chose these locations and how they planned everything and how it all turned out. So welcome, Alejandro and Shabri.
Hello. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being on the show today. I would love to start at the very beginning and find out how you guys decided that you wanted to have your wedding at Disney.
Well, first off, we love going to Disney. We've done all three, so we've been to Disney World, Disneyland, and the cruise line. We live in New Mexico, so Disneyland is quite a bit closer to us. However, when we chose, we picked Disney World in Orlando because it had quite a bit more venues to choose from, and you could have that real in-park experience. So ultimately, we went with Disney World, but we're huge Disney people. We go several times a year to both parks as well as the cruise line.
That's awesome. So then how did your friends and family react when they found out where the wedding was going to be?
I would say they were excited. We tried to make it, you know, as budget friendly as possible, being as a destination wedding versus getting married somewhere locally, you know what I mean? So they were excited for us. And most of them were like, okay, we're going, you know what I mean? Like, we really didn't have too many people that said they weren't going. So everyone was excited because it was a lot of first time visits for them. So they were all super excited and supportive, and they were ready to go as soon as we told them.
Yeah, it was kind of a vacation / celebration for everybody.
That's wonderful. How many guests did you invite, and how many were able to make the trip?
We invited 51 and we ended up with 32.
Got it. Okay. And did you set up a room block for your guests?
We did. We tried to be like budget friendly with everybody. And so we ended up picking Art of Animation as our main resort and then Pop Century as our second. We only did the two instead of doing three. And most everybody stayed at Art of Animation. We had a few people stay at Pop Century.
Yeah, we thought that the Art of Animation, we've stayed at that resort several times. And in our opinion, that resort is the most Disney resort. All the resorts have, you know, their Disney flair, but we feel like that one has some extra magic that was put into the design of that resort.
That's great. Now, how did you choose the day of the week and time of day for your event? Probably, I'm guessing, time of day was dictated by the venues you chose.
Yes. So it's going to sound a little weird, but I wanted to do an odd day. And the reason why we chose November was, you know, we looked at the choices between, you know, having, because of course they're going to have the decorations out. So between having like a Halloween fall style wedding versus, you know, Christmas wintertime style, as far as the decor goes. And I knew with us having an in-park ceremony, the decor would be present there. And so we chose to do the wintertime / Christmas just because it's a little bit more cheerful. Not saying that Halloween's not cheerful, but the glamour of Christmas, the lights and the flowers and, you know, all the floral made it beautiful that we didn't even have to add extra because it was already there. So that's why we chose November. We chose based on, you know, we have all, you know, they give you the list of all the days of the week. And of course, you know, the price of your venue is dependent on what day of the week you chose. So we chose Monday only because, one, it was, Monday seemed like a cool kind of day. It's a fresh start of the week after the weekend, as well as it was on the 13th. So with that being said, that was still an odd day. So I felt like 11/13/23 was kind of a special day as far as the numbers went. So that's what kind of chose our day and our month.
That's very cool. So how did you choose your ceremony and dessert party venues?
So when I originally inquired with Disney, so I waited till they tell you, you know, there's that certain mile marker time as far as out from your estimated date is when you could submit your inquiry. So on that very date was the day I submitted our information request to the Fairy Tale Weddings. So at that time, when we kind of gave our estimate on where we wanted the wedding to be, I had chosen to do the Italy Pavilion in Italy. It was really between that and I believe Canada at the time. The Place de Remy in France was actually not yet released to be an actual venue to be chosen from. So as we waited and the process kind of got started where we got assigned our planner and we kind of just did like the introductions, but nothing kind of was decided or requested just yet. And at that time, the Place de Remy popped up as a new venue option. One couple had already got married there, and that's what they kind of, I saw the pictures for that. And we both love Ratatouille, love the France Pavilion. My opinion, it's my favorite pavilion. However, when we saw that, we were like, that is definitely the place for the ceremony. And then as far as the dessert party goes, we looked at the different options because, of course, we wanted to have our guests have, you know, the best experience to see the fireworks for the dessert party in Epcot. So we chose, you know, we had to pick from around the world showcase. And throughout the different options, we kind of like played around as far as like where the viewpoints are from each one. And then when we kind of visited Disney World that summer, we looked at where we picked was the Terrace de Flores, and it was like its own little island. So instead of it just, you know, being on the outside of one of the countries, we thought it was like a little bit more private, and it seemed a little bit more special just because it, you know, was a dedicated special like island for that particular celebration.
Got it. And I see sometimes people balk at the idea of having an early morning in-park ceremony and then a big gap in the day and then doing a dessert party at the end of the day, which we actually did and I loved it. But can you talk a little bit about how that worked for you guys?
So when we found out that the wedding was going to be early, that it was at 6 o'clock, and of course, you know, everything starts way before the 6 o'clock ceremony time. We thought we were like, okay, we can handle that. We're always up early, generally when we're on trips, and we're like, we can handle that. Now, when we told our guests that the ceremony was at 6 o'clock, keep in mind that most of our guests are from New Mexico as well. We're 2 hours behind the Eastern time. So that's really like 4 a.m. our time here. So everybody was like, do you realize that's 4 a.m.? And everybody thought it was funny, but everybody was kind of excited because it was a really great way to start the day off. Because once we finished the ceremony, it only lasted an hour or so. Once we finished that, we had the whole day ahead of us. And we knew that, you know, we had our dessert party that evening and we had something to look forward to. So almost all of our guests spent the day in Epcot that day along with us. So we were able to, you know, go back to our resorts, get into theme park clothes instead of formal clothes, and just enjoy the day in Epcot. And, you know, with it being the World Showcase and all the countries, we took our time, you know, going through there for lunch and exploring. And then we hit a few rides after that. And then at a little bit in that afternoon is when we were able to make it back to the resort to change back into our formal clothes and make it back to Epcot in time for our dessert party.
That's great. Now, did you guys use any outside vendors for the portions of your event that you were able to?
Everything besides the officiant was all done by Disney. Obviously, the food was catered by them. The officiant, she was the only one that we used outside of Disney. And they actually had a list of people that, like, they recommended. So besides her, we used everything through Disney.
And how did you choose your officiant?
We had gone online and, like, we went through the list that they'd given us of people that they recommended. But you could use anybody you wanted to. But we decided to go with someone they recommended so that they knew the rules and, you know, they were familiar with it, not somebody that had never done it before. So we went through the list and we like Googled their name and like some of them had web pages and we watched, like, some of them had videos posted on how their ceremony went or pictures and stuff like that. And for one thing that really sold us on her is that, like, since we're such big Disney fans, is that she uses a magic wand like the fairy godmother does to, at the end of your ceremony, to like pronounce you a married couple.
That's awesome. Now, did you add any entertainment to the ceremony or the dessert party, like a ride mix-in?
So we wanted to do a ride mix-in. Of course, we didn't get notice or confirmation, I should say, until kind of a little bit ways out as far as what was happening in Epcot. So We did plan to do a ride mix-in after the dessert party ended. However, it turned out that that night ended up being one of the special after-hours parties in Epcot. So because of that after-hours, we weren't able to do a ride mix-in. However, if we were able to have done the ride mix-in, we would have definitely chose Ratatouille to kind of tie in everything that we did that day. But because Epcot had its after-hours party, we didn't get to have that option.
And what musician did you choose for your ceremony?
So for the ceremony, we had, I'm not sure of his name, but we had a wonderful violinist that played a selection of Disney music. He started off, he did some mixed different Disney music as the guests were arriving. We didn't get to hear too much of it because we didn't get to see the guests come in. Disney was super nice as far as letting us choose whether or not we wanted to already be out there when the guests arrived or if we wanted to stay hidden and have like a grand entrance. And so, of course, we chose the grand entrance. So I guess as guests were arriving, from what I was told, he did take requests for different songs. That way everybody was in a nice, cheerful mood and was kind of like involved in the magic that was happening before we came out. For our officiant, we chose a song, the La Festin from Ratatouille, the theme song, for her to come out to. So everybody kind of was like in the, you know, the French and Ratatouille mood. And then the first of us to come out with our mom was Shabri. Him and his mom came out to Can You Feel the Love Tonight from The Lion King. And then when I came out with my mom, it was I Can See the Light from Tangled. So that was our songs we chose to walk down the aisle to. And then finally he came out at the very end when we turned around to walk down the aisle after everything was pronounced final. We walked back out to the Beauty and the Beast theme song.
That's great. Do you have any menu items or cake flavors from the dessert party that you can recommend?
We did a little bit of flipping around when it came to the menu choices because they give you this big packet, you know, for the different food options. Of course, there's, you know, different hors d'oeuvres that you could choose to cater to the guest, or you could do kind of like a cook station. They had macaroni and cheese. They had a pasta station, I believe, a slider station. And we chose to go with originally was the macaroni and cheese station. After revisiting that decision a little bit later, we decided to scrap the macaroni and cheese station so that we could do a bigger just hors d'oeuvres selection. So we chose, I believe it was the Meriwether package was the one where you could get the most options. Our favorite thing on there was probably the cheeseburger spring rolls. We've had them before in the parks, loved them then, and then they were just phenomenal for our dessert party. They were a house hit. That was kind of my favorite. And then Shabri's favorite was the coconut shrimp that they catered. I didn't really eat that, but everybody else said that it was absolutely superb. So for the food, that was our two big house hits. As far as our wedding cake, a little funny story. Shabri does not like cake or eat cake. So when we started the process about deciding on our wedding cake, what we wanted, and we asked Disney if it was possible to do a two-tiered cake where we had one layer as actual cake and then one layer as Rice Krispie. So they were able to accommodate that. So when we requested the tasting box with all of our flavors, of course, I was the one taste testing the cake pieces, and then they gave Shabri a little Mickey-shaped Rice Krispie. So what we ultimately ended up going with as far as the cake flavor that I loved, there was a lot of chocolate options. In my opinion, the chocolate was a little too sweet, a little too chocolatey. So what I went with was lavender-flavored cake with the amaretto mousse. So those two combined was the absolute best flavor combination. The cake was absolutely a hit with everybody. And then, of course, Shabri did eat the cake for our photos, then switched off to eating Rice Krispie. That was on the other layer of the cake.
That's such a great idea because the cake is a wonderful display element and it looks amazing in photos. But if you don't like cake, the idea that you could do a Rice Krispie cake instead, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it was really good too. Like I was excited because like I said, I took pictures with the cake. We fed each other the cake, but I wasn't a big fan. Like that's just not my thing. So I was excited for the Rice Krispie part whenever it came down to actually eating a slice of something.
Yeah. So we had the cake as our dessert. Our late aunt, she absolutely fell in love with the idea because we saw it on Facebook that you could have the cake ball, like gumball machine. So, of course, we had to do that for her. So we had, I believe it had candy apple, churro, the gray stuff, and Dole Whip as the flavor options in there. And they were just like in little gumball containers, like you would get like when you would get a toy out of the ones like at the grocery store. So we had the cake ball machine, that was a house hit. And then we also had our ice cream novelties bar, which had like the Mickey bars and kind of all the Disney kind of novelty ice creams.
That sounds great. Did you guys add any other events around your day, like a welcome party?
We did not, because everyone was kind of like coming in like at different times. And my sister, she didn't show up until like that morning. Like they had gotten in there like early, early that morning. So we didn't really do anything because everybody was coming in so many different times. It was kind of hard to schedule something because we flew in the Saturday before the wedding. So like there really wasn't just enough time to, I guess you could say, get everybody together in one place.
Got it. Okay. Can you give my listeners a timeline of how the wedding day ran?
So the wedding day was pretty smooth in my opinion. So we got ready. We had met all of our guests because like Shari said earlier in the show that we had most of our guests stay at Arda Animation Resort. So the bus, our resort was the first stop for the charter bus. So the charter bus arrived and it picked up all of our guests. They picked all of our guests up at 5 in the morning. And then so we were picked up by a limousine at the same time. So when we got to see everybody kind of before we went to Epcot. And so we got in our limo. They got on their bus. The bus still had to make a few other stops. Like we said earlier, we had a few guests staying at Pop Century's, our other resort. And then one of our good friends, they stayed at Port Orleans. So that was the third stop for the bus before I got to Epcot. So we got there a little bit early, which was good because we had our wedding planner. We had a couple people from Disney actually already there that kind of assisted getting the ceremony set up. So us arriving early, they were able to give us our boutonnieres, get that all figured out, do a mic check as far as the sound system so that way everybody can hear. And that was our first in-person meeting with our officiant. So she kind of gave us the wedding day rundown to kind of help calm the nerves and make it as smooth as possible, which her help and recommendations was fantastic for the day. We went through the ceremony. We had no issues. It was pretty nice because after the ceremony, we still had, I believe, like 35, 40 minutes with the photographer. So we were able to take pictures with all of our guests in the venue. We took all of our professional shots there in the venue. So we got a ton of stuff. We got everything we wished for accomplished before we were able to leave the venue. After that, we were able to kind of persuade our limo driver from Disney to take us to Disney's Riviera Resort so that we could get a few snapshots in their tunnel that has all the mosaics of the different movies in it. So we were able to get a little bonus as far as our photos went. And then by the time that was over, we were able to make it back to our main resort by the time the time ran out for our limousine. So after that, we basically kind of all recuperated for about an hour, and then pretty much all of our guests that day decided to go with us to Epcot. So we just did a nice leisure day in Epcot. We strolled through all the countries. We had lots of good food as far as lunch was concerned, and nibbling throughout each country. And we were able to make it to a few rides that were in the rest of Epcot, and then made it back, of course, to the International Gateway so that way we could catch the Skyliner back to Art of Animation so we could get ready for the dessert party that evening. So we got ready back in our resort and we caught back on the Skyliner, which surprisingly enough was not too busy. Made it back to the International Gateway where we met the guide from Disney that would take us to our dessert party location. They got everybody taken to the location. We made it down there. They had everything set up exactly as we picked it and described it to them. Everything looked phenomenal. The food was already ready to go. So as soon as we got seated, everybody got seated. They served us first, and then everybody got seated. We had a spectacular time with the food. And then before you know it, it was time for the fireworks. Me and Shabri didn't really get to see it as a spectator, I would say, just because they took us to a lower level of that area in the Terrace de Fleurs to take our photos with the fireworks. So a lot of it was facing the photographer instead of the fireworks. but it came out for some spectacular photos on her, and she knew really how to capture it, and she had that the show memorized down to every burst from every firework, so we got the best shots. And then after that, that really concluded our evening, and we just had to find a way to get back to the resort because it was kind of a little crazy with everybody trying to leave Epcot at the same time.
Got it. And that's a good point that you make about the fireworks show. I think sometimes couples aren't prepared for the fact that they're not really going to get to see the fireworks show if they want to pose for the pictures, but it's totally worth it because the pictures are so amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They came out spectacular. And she did. She was very nice and told us ahead of time. She's like, I hope it's okay that you're not going to see the show too much. But she goes, if you do want to, she had a different kind of, I guess you could say, session planned in her head so that we could see part of the show. But we were more concerned about the photos than the show because we've seen the show before and we'll probably see it several times again before it changed to the new show.
And that's one thing that kind of made us pick having a split from the ceremony to like the celebration was because whenever we were talking to our planner about it, they were saying, well, some people do this and they're like, and you get to watch the fireworks whenever you have like a dessert party or having it split versus one after the other. And they're like, oh, then you get to enjoy the fireworks. Like it's all like, you don't have to pay anything extra, but then like you have like a front row view of watching that show versus having like crowd around the fencing and stuff like that. Cause you had your own private area.
Right. Yeah. So then when you guys were planning, what were some of the most important aspects of the event where you focused your attention and your budget?
I would say like probably the ceremony location, because I mean, you know, like Alejandro was saying, from Disneyland to Disney World, Disneyland didn't have as many options and everyone's on a budget. So that was just out of our budget at the starting price. So when we were looking at Disney World, there were so many more options. And plus we like that pavilion so much. We're like, well, you know what I mean? Like it's within our budget. We can make it happen and still add extra stuff. You know, if we would have done like something more expensive, then there would be, you know, we'd have to cut somewhere else.
Were there any aspects that were less important where you saved your money or your effort?
I think when it came to the decorations, as far as, because the ceremony location being right in front of the Ratatouille, right, especially it being Christmas, it was a beautiful atmosphere. The pavilion naturally is beautiful. With it being Christmas time, they had, you know, the garland draped up above the canopy that's in that pavilion. And it gave it a real nice aesthetic. So when me and Shari kind of talked about things that we could probably not do and save a little bit and we could apply, you know, money to something else, decorations like that were kind of like, well, the pavilion's already beautiful. Like, do we need to actually add more than what we, you know, already had? The only thing that we added to the ceremony venue was we did a memory table. They didn't charge us or anything for that, just so that we had a table of, you know, photos of our loved ones that are no longer here. So the only expense that we really had for the ceremony that was extra was, of course, floral. The only floral that we did was our boutonnieres. And then we had corsages made for our moms. We had a rose for our memorial table. And then the one thing I could not live without for our ceremony location was I had to have in the, I guess, the wedding aisle, the rose petals that swirl down it and four Mickey ears at the entryway. So we did have those. That was our biggest expense when it came to the floral. So floral was really our only splurge that we added to the ceremony.
Okay, got it. Now, what ended up being each of your favorite memories of the wedding day?
Mine would be probably, of course, you know, the ceremony itself was, you know, the most memorable, spectacular part of the day. But if you exclude that, I think my favorite part was probably like the getting to there. So like when we got there and you just have everybody arriving and, you know, the welcomes and meeting all the people, and everybody was just in such a happy, excited mood. That was like, in my opinion, that was the best memory, is just not just our family and friends, but the staff there from Disney that was working that morning. Everybody was so excited. And even for this, this dessert party, it was the same way. We had the most phenomenal wait staff when it came to the catering team. They really made a memorable impression on us as far as that the evening went. So the staff overall was my greatest memory, besides, of course, you know, friends and family that were there.
I'd say mine was probably like the friends and family, just because, you know, like they traveled so far to be there with us to, you know what I mean? Like they had to spend money too, you know, to get there and be there with us. And then they were there just there like to support us and enjoy this time with us and actually be part of what's going on.
That's wonderful. Did anything go wrong or just not turn out like you expected?
Not really. I think everything was so pre-planned as far as, like, not in a bad way, but as far as everything was scheduled. So nothing went wrong, I would say. We did have, like I said, we did have weather every single day except for the ceremony. So we got some good luck that day. It did drizzle a little in the afternoon, but we did get a pretty much clear day. The only thing that was not scheduled, of course, was the fact that we did have to postpone our Magic Kingdom photo shoot to about maybe a couple days later, which ended up being, of course, the day that we were flying home. So we had a really early, early morning so that we could have that photo shoot. But it ended up being worth it because the weather for that morning was the best it had been the entire week. And our photographer said that it could not have been a better day to do those photos that morning.
That's wonderful. Was there anything that seemed like a big deal beforehand or you were worried about and then it turned out not to be a big deal?
I think my biggest worry was the weather. I kept watching the weather because, of course, you know, it's November, so it could be a little different, you know, as far as it could be sunny one day, it could be rainy one day, it could be super cold and stormy one day. So my biggest worry, not so much in the beginning, but, you know, a couple months prior to the wedding, especially getting up to the actual day we left, was the weather, if it was going to be non-cooperative or if it was going to be raining, because I didn't want us to do a weather backup or have to, you know, move the ceremony to a backup location, just because that's not what our original vision was. So that was our only stress that ended up not being a problem, of course, because the weather did cooperate for us.
What was the weather backup location that they had scheduled for you guys if you needed it?
For the ceremony, it was the America Pavilion. I have actually been several times to the parks, but have never actually gone into the American Pavilion. And that was where our backup was.
Huh, interesting. Okay.
Originally, I guess it was supposed to be the Wedding Pavilion was ours, but they told us that it had to change just because they had, I believe, 4 weddings going that day in the Wedding Pavilion. So there was no room for us there. So Epcot still stayed our backup.
Now, is there anything you would have done differently knowing what you know now?
After I reflect on the day, everything was exactly how we wanted it. There was not one thing that I can think of that I was like, oh, I wish we would have had that. Everything went so smoothly with our plans, and we had several planning sessions, especially coming up to the wedding day with our floral team, with our main planner. We did go through quite a few planners just because they kind of like handed it off, but it ended up being very well kept. Everything was exactly how we wanted it.
I would say that Disney like did a really good job about just keeping it all organized and like gave us all our options and told us everything that's possible, not just like, oh, well, you're on a budget, this is all you can do. They just like, you know what I mean? They told you everything, even though like you had a budget. So if you wanted to splurge on something or if you really didn't want to at all, you didn't have to, but they kept you in the loop of everything that's possible that you could have done.
Wow, that's awesome. Do you have any other tips or advice for future Disney couples?
I would say come up with like your biggest dream as far as when your vision of your wedding day would be. We had a really good start with our planner when we started the whole process. And she's like, think of the biggest and the best. And then she goes, you can work from there as far as, you know, getting everything you want within, of course, your budget. And then you can always take away things. So never start small, start big. And then you could work within your budget from there. And then I would say also to just start planning as soon as you're able to. That way, you know, you're first in line for whatever it is that you may want to do or have for your wedding.
I would say to like get as much information as you can. They're all willing to help you as much as possible. They get back to you. They will help you but stay in your budget or even go outside your budget or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And they will give you every detail that you need.
That's great. Well, Alejandro and Shabri, I think you've offered a lot of great tips and advice for anyone who's interested in getting married or having a vow renewal at Walt Disney World, and I appreciate your taking the time.
Well, just thank you.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Carrie Hayward, inviting you to join me again next week for another episode of the Disney Wedding Podcast. Past shows and tons of photos for each episode are available on my website, DisneyWeddingPodcast.com, or listen in your favorite podcast app. And for instant answers to all your Walt Disney World wedding questions, check out Carrie Hayward's Fairy Tale Weddings Guide, available as an interactive ebook with continual free updates at FairyTaleWeddingsGuide.com.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.